with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz, for leading us in the reading of God's word. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches that he had charge over, he often spoke to them about three redeeming qualities that he was hoping to see evident in their experience. The three redeeming qualities were hope, faith, and love. And so for the next three Sundays, the three Sundays that I will be with you in February, we're going to look at those redeeming qualities. Today we'll look at hope. Next week, which is Valentine's Day, we'll look at love. And then the last Sunday in February, have a look at heading in a long obedience in the road of faith. And so today we're going to look at the topic of hope. My wife's youngest brother, a number of years ago, took up the sport of rappelling. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar with the sport, rappelling is the practice of sliding down a rope in a controlled manner, emphasis, of course, on controlled. To assist in the control process, the rope is often run through a friction device so that the climber can control the rate of descent. And so my brother-in-law has rappelled down canyon walls, off of bridges, and in caves. On one occasion, he and some friends were rappelling in a series of consecutively descending caves. The plan was to rappel into one cave and then go to the next until they finally reached the bottom. After successfully descending through the first of the caves, they prepared to descend into the last one. The youngest member in their group said that he would go first, and so he secured the rope, threw it into the darkness of the cave, attached his harness, and began his descent. When he came to the end of his rope, he swung his legs down, expecting to touch solid ground. Instead, he found himself dangling in the air with nothing solid to stand on. In the darkness, he could not see the bottom of the cave, so he had no idea how far he was from the cave's floor. Afraid to let go and unable to climb back up, he hung there at the end of his rope. The cave is a scary place to be when you reach the end of your rope. At some point in our lives, we all spend some time in a cave. The cave is where you end up when all of the supports and structures and safety devices you had wrapped around yourself suddenly give way. The cave is where you find yourself when you had the idea that taking a risk of pursuing a dream, of going on a new adventure that you felt would be fun and fulfilling, all of a sudden comes crashing down around you and nothing goes as you had planned. The cave is a place of shattered hopes and expectations. Maybe you're in a cave right now. The really difficult thing about being in the cave is that the darkness all around hinders us from finding our way out. Even God seems to be distant at those times, and we wonder if he too is blinded by the darkness, or if he sees us in our trouble, or if he somehow has lost track of us. There's one thing that you need to know. The cave is where God does some of his best work. He shapes our lives and forms us into the kind of people that he wants us to be, often through our cave experiences. When those things in which we have found ourselves trusting for success and strength and stability are suddenly stripped away, it is then that you can discover that God alone is all you need. Many times it is in the cave, dangling at the end of your rope, that you meet God. I want you to learn to invite God into the blackest, darkest recesses of your mind, the deepest gloom of your disappointments, the darkest caverns of your souls. P.T. Forsyth has said, "The worst thing that can happen to a person is to have no God to cry to out of the depth. The depth is simply the height inverted. God is deeper than the deepest depth we experience." So how do we go about practicing confidence in God when life takes a dark turn? Well, consider what the prophet Isaiah wrote as he spoke of the power of hope when it is placed in God, found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 through 31. The prophet wrote, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God'? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall." And then here is the key verse to understanding hope. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." The first lesson to learn is that hope prompts us to wrestle with God. Now, although the prophet is speaking to a nation here when he writes, the nation of Israel, the hope of this nation really began in a wrestling match. Let me explain. You may be familiar with the sons that were born to Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Esau, twin brothers. Esau was the twin that was born the first, and Jacob, of course, was the second. And so Esau was the rightful recipient of the birthright that would be given to him as he got older. Well, we know from the Bible story that Jacob swindled his older brother out of his birthright. After he did that, he was somewhat afraid for his life, and so he fled to live with a relative in a distant land because he feared that his brother might harm him. Now, at 97 years of age, Jacob's returning home. Afraid to face his brother, he sends him gifts, and he sends his wives and his family and children off and hides them. And then all alone, the night before he is to come face to face with his brother, feeling vulnerable and helpless, Jacob has an encounter with God that changed both his character and his name. It's recorded in Genesis with these words. "And so Jacob was alone, and a man came and wrestled with him until the sun came up. When the man saw he could not defeat Jacob, he struck Jacob's hip and put it out of joint. Then he said to Jacob, 'Let me go, the sun is coming up.' But Jacob said, 'I will let you go if you will bless me.' The man said to him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, 'Jacob.' Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob. Your name will now be Israel, because you have wrestled with God and with people, and you have won.' Then Jacob asked, 'Please tell me your name.' But the man said, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed Jacob there. So Jacob named that place Peniel, saying, 'I have seen God face to face, but my life was saved.' Then the sun rose as he was leaving that place, and Jacob was limping because of his leg." I like what J.I. Packer has written about Jacob's experience. He writes, "That night as Jacob stood alone by the river Jabbok, God met him. There were hours of desperate, agonized conflict, spiritual, and as it seemed to Jacob, physical also. Jacob had hold of God. He wanted a blessing, an assurance of divine favor and protection in this crisis, but he could not get what he sought. Instead, he grew ever more conscious of his own state, utterly helpless, and without God, utterly hopeless. The nature of Jacob's wrestling with God was simply that he held on to God while God weakened him and wrought in him the spirit of submission and self-distrust. that he had desired God's blessing so much that he clung to God through all his painful humbling till he came low enough for God to raise him up by speaking peace to him and assuring him that he need not fear about Esau anymore. I think Jacob shows to us that wrestling with God is okay. In fact, I think he shows us our need to wrestle with God. There are often struggles in our lives that bring us to the point of needing to wrestle issues through in our relationship with God. A teenage son or daughter rebels. A debilitating illness strikes. A marriage breakup occurs. A job is lost. An unexpected death strikes. And your world is sent spinning out of control. You want to hope in God, but it seems as if your prayers go nowhere. God appears to be distant, and disappointment floods your soul. It is at this point that you need to wrestle with God. I will be so bold to say that if you have never wrestled with God in the face of your pain, you will never learn to hope in Him. Jacob shows us how to wrestle. He refused to let go of God until God assured him that his future was secure. In our wrestling with God, we need to refuse to let go until we are satisfied by God's personal intervention in our life's situation. For Jacob, his wrestling lasted only for a night. For you, it may last several nights, or perhaps even weeks. Whatever it takes, don't give up. Hope in God is a confident, disciplined, expectant, active, and sometimes painful clinging to God. It is wrestling with God through our doubts, our self-sufficiency, our pain, and saying, I will not let go. I will hold on to you, even though the circumstances of my life are not turning out the way I want them to, or may never turn out the way I choose. I am betting everything on you. I have no plan B. We go to school on hope when we decide to wrestle with God, giving him permission to humble us enough so that he can lift us up. Hope, by its very nature, comes only to those who can deal with the reality of not being in control, who recognize their limits. It is in this frame of mind that hope prompts us to watch for God. Isaiah writes, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." Take a look around you, Isaiah is saying. When you think that nothing is happening, that God is not aware of what is going on, then look at how all of creation anticipates the intervention of God. Day after day, year after year, night after night, God never grows tired of looking after the universe that he has created. So why do you think he will ignore your well-being? The other thing to realize, Isaiah tells us, is that we simply cannot grasp the extent of God's wisdom and understanding. His ways are not our ways. God views matters from an eternal perspective. The Apostle Peter put this in perspective for us when he wrote, "But you must not forget, dear friends, that a day is like a thousand years to the Lord, and a thousand years is like a day." The story is told that an economist once read these verses and got kind of excited. "Lord, is it true that a thousand years for us is just a minute to you?" "Yes," the Lord replied. "Then that must mean that $1,000,000 to us must just be a penny to you." "That's right," the Lord said. "Well, Lord, could you give me one of those pennies?" "All right," the Lord said, "just wait here a minute." You see, too often we want God's provision, but we do not want his timing. We watch for the penny to drop, but we do not like the minute that it takes. Hope keeps us watching and waiting for God to intervene and work his good purposes out in our lives. It causes us to trust God and to choose to believe that he does know what he is doing. Hope prompts us to wait on God. Now let's be honest. Most of us don't wait well. I know I don't wait well. Whenever I'm in a line at the grocery store, I'm always checking to see which one is the shortest. If I'm in the express line, I'm counting the number of articles in the buggy in front of me to make sure that they're 12 or less. I just don't like to wait. The other day I was in Costco, a while ago I was in Costco, and I scouted out all of the lines, and I went to the one, there was one person in front of me. So I wheeled my buggy up real quick and got my stuff out on the conveyor belt. He was checked through and he went to pay. He pulled out of his pocket several rolls of loonies. I couldn't believe it. He opened them up and the cashier starts counting them all off, you know, two by two by two. When I get to the border cross, I make my wife pick out the line that we go in, just in case we have to wait there a long time. It may be frustrating to us when we find that the Bible, that the God of the Bible, who is all-powerful and all-wise, keeps saying to us, wait. It seems to me that it would be much better for God to show up a slightly ahead of my trouble. The problem is that God seldom moves at my frantic pace. Waiting may be the hardest thing that we are called upon to do. Lewis Meads has stated, "Waiting is our destiny as creatures who cannot by themselves bring about what they hope for. Waiting is the hardest work of hope." However, there's an amazing upside to waiting. Listen again to what Isaiah says. "Yet the strength of those who wait with hope in the Lord will be renewed. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and won't become weary. They will walk and won't grow tired." Waiting on God brings to us renewal. It leads to the gaining of strength for soaring or running or walking. We need to consider then the benefits of waiting. The first benefit is obtaining the strength to soar like eagles. Now, I'm sure many of you are aware of this, but only a few birds, like eagles, have strong enough wings to catch the thermal currents of warm air coming up from the water, from the air rather, the earth, and without moving a feather, rise to great heights. Eagles have been clocked at up to 130 kilometers per hour without flapping at all. They just soar along on the invisible currents of rising air. Isaiah says that for those who wait on the Lord, there will come time when they will soar like eagles. They will catch the fresh wind of the Spirit of God and be lifted up to amazing heights in their spiritual journeys. They will enjoy the wonderful experience of spiritual soaring. Maybe you're in that experience right now. I mean, you find yourself being carried along by the Spirit of God like you haven't felt for a long time. You find that you have the power to rise above temptation and sin, to overcome doubt and fear, to lead a productive and fruitful life. Be very, very grateful, my friend. Do all that you can to stay in the stream of the Spirit's power. Be diligent in waiting upon God through the spiritual habits of prayer and Bible study and worship and fellowship with other believers. Thank God for this time of soaring in the Spirit. But Isaiah also tells us that there will be times when we will not be soaring. Instead, our spiritual experience will be a little more down to earth. We'll find ourselves running just to stay in the race. And in these times, too, we can find strength to run by waiting on God. A few years ago, I used to exercise by running in the morning. And there was a point in my route that I followed where I often felt like just quitting, like just stop, and this is enough, you know, it's crazy, and just walk the rest of the way home. I mean, my lungs ached, my feet hurt, my legs felt rubbery. However, I would make myself push through that quitting point, and when I did, I discovered what is often referred to as catching a second wind. By refusing to lie down and quit, I found strength to keep going. By persevering in obedience to God, by praying and serving and giving and loving and doing what you know what God intends for you to do, you will find yourself catching the second wind of the Spirit and find strength to keep running the race that God has set out before you. Do not try to manufacture spiritual experiences. Do not compare yourself to someone who may be soaring right now. Your time will come. Just keep running. But then there are times when you are neither soaring nor running, when pain or discouragement or doubt strike and you find it difficult just to keep going. It's all you can do to put one foot in front of the other. Isaiah calls this a time to walk and not grow tired. Maybe you're in a walking stage right now. You may not feel very productive or triumphant. Even the smallest wins are difficult to come by. But you are determined to keep on walking, to keep on trusting, to keep on obeying, to keep on keeping on. You are resolved to take just one step at a time in expectant hope that God will give you the strength you need to keep going and not faint. There's some very fast runners in the world. There are eagles that soar much higher than you can see. And it's a hard thing to be a walker when you are surrounded by racers and eagles. But sometimes walking is the best that you can offer God. He understands all about that. Walking counts too. So keep on walking, because what we wait for is far greater than what happens to us while we are waiting. A while, the young climber who had accompanied my wife's brother dangled at the end of his rope. The other climbers decided upon a rescue plan. They had been misinformed on the depth of the cave. And so a longer rope was taken from their equipment bag, tied off, and thrown down into the cave. One of the older climbers rappelled down to their young companion, checked to make sure that he was okay, and then continued on to the floor of the cave. While he held the line steady, the dangling climber attached his harness to the longer rope and completed his descent to the bottom safely. The fear of the cave had been overcome. When you find yourself having reached the end of your rope, just remember, God has a longer rope. He knows the depth of the cave you may be in and positions himself in the depth with you. The dark places of your journey are light to him. He knows your need and offers you a way to get to the bottom of your fears. So don't dangle any longer. Take hold of him and let him take hold of you. Actively wrestle, watch, and wait for it. Hope restored through the steadfast love of God. Let's pray. And so, Father, we consciously say this morning, we place our hope in you. For you are our hope, our help. You are our security. And so we acknowledge that and pray that as we are going through times of challenge in our lives, that you will help us to learn to wrestle and to watch and to wait in a way that will strengthen us in our hope in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.